Chapter 14. One Wall About Angonus. Rev. Henricus Selens to the Classis of Amsterdam, June 9, 1664. Very Reverend, Pious and Learned Brethren in Christ. With Christian salutations of grace and peace, this is to inform you that with proper submission, we take the liberty of reporting to the Very Reverend Classis the condition and welfare of the Church of Jesus Christ, to which your reverences called me, as well as my request and friendly prayer for an honorable dismission. As for me, your Rev. Assembly sent me to the congregation at Brooklyn, to preach the gospel there, and administer the sacraments. This we have done to the best of our ability, and according to the size of the place with a considerable increase of members. There were only a few members there on my arrival, but these have with God's help and grace increased fourfold. Trusting that it would not displease your reverences, and would also be very profitable to the Church of Christ, we found it easy to do what might seem troublesome, for we have also taken charge of the congregation at the General's Bowery in the evening, as we have told you before. An exception to this arrangement is made in regard to the administration of the Lord's Supper. As it is not customary with your reverences to administer it in the evening, we thought, after conference with our reverend brethren of the New Amsterdam congregation, and mature deliberation, that it would be more edifying to preach at the Bowery, on such occasions, in the morning, and then have the communion, after the Christian custom of our fatherland. As to baptisms, the Negroes occasionally request that we should baptize their children, but we have refused to do so, partly on account of their lack of knowledge and of faith, and partly because of the worldly and perverse aims on the part of said Negroes. They wanted nothing else than to deliver their children from bodily slavery, without striving for piety and Christian virtues. Nevertheless, when it was seemly to do so, we have, to the best of our ability, taken much trouble in private and public catechizing. This has borne but little fruit among the elder people who have no faculty of comprehension, but there is some hope for the youth who have improved reasonably well. Not to administer baptism among them for the reasons given is also the custom among our colleagues. Less than one, but the most important thing is that the Father of grace and God of peace has blessed our two congregations with quietness and harmony out of the treasury of his graciousness, so that we have had no reason to complain to the Rev. Classis, which takes such things, however, in good part, or to trouble you, as we might have anticipated. One, the enslaving of Africans having at first been justified on the ground of their heathenism, the nation that to baptize them would make it unlawful to hold them in bondage was frequent among owners in the 17th century, and operated to deter them from permitting the Christianizing of their slaves. May not forget a resolution which his matey, James II, made, and had a little before entered upon it at the council board, at Windsor or Whitehall, that the Negroes in the plantations should all be baptized, exceedingly declaiming against that impiety of their masters prohibiting it, out of a mistaken opinion that they would be ipso facto free, but his matey persists in his resolution to have them chastened. W.C.H. Piety the Bishop Ken blessed him for. Evelyn, Diary, 2. 479-1685. Meanwhile, the stipulated number of years pledged to the West India Company is diminishing, although the obligation we owe to them who recommend US-1 naturally continues. Also, on account of their old age, we would love to see again our parents, and therefore we desire to return home. On revolving the matter in my mind, and not to be lacking in filial duty, I felt it to be proper to refer the subject to God and my greatly beloved parents who call for me, whether I should remain or return home at the expiration of my contract. 1. The Classis. As we understand, they are, next to myself, most anxious for my return, and have received my discharge from the Hon. Directors, and have notified the deputies ad causas indicas thereof, which has pleased us. We trust that we shall receive also from your reverences a favorable reply, relying upon your usual kindness. Yet it is far from us to seem to pass by your reverences, and give the least cause for dissatisfaction. I have endeavored to deserve the favor of the Rev. Classis by the most arduous services for the welfare of Christ's Church, and am always ready to serve your reverences. It is my purpose when I return home, when my stipulated time is fulfilled, to give a verbal account of my ministry here, and the state of the Church, that you may be assured that any omissions in duty have been through ignorance. Domin Samuel Megapolensis 1 has safely arrived, but Domin Warnerus Hatson, to whom you had sent as preacher to the South River, died on the passage over. It is very necessary to supply his place, partly on account of the children who have not been baptized since the death of Domin Wheely, 3, and partly on account of the abominable sentiments of various persons there, who speak very disrespectfully of the Holy Scriptures. 1 Reverend Samuel Megapolensis, born in 1634, studied 3 years at Harvard College and 3 at the University of Utrecht. In 1662 he was called by the Classis of Amsterdam to the ministry in New Netherland, and ordained by them. In 1664, having meanwhile studied medicine at Leiden, he went out to New Netherland, and was minister of Breukelen from that time to 1669, when he returned to Holland. He died in 1700 as pastor emeritus of the Scottish Church at Dordrecht. 2 Elsewhere called Hassing. 3 Reverend Everardus Willius, minister of New Amstel from 1657 to 1659, died in the latter year, leaving without pastor a church of 60 members. In addition, there is among the Swedes a certain Lutheran preacher, who does not lead a Christian life. Less than one, there is also another person, who has exchanged the Lutheran pulpit for a schoolmaster's place. This undoubtedly has done great damage among the sheep, who have so long wandered about without a shepherd except the forementioned pastor, who leads such an unchristian life. God grant that no damage be done to Christ's Church, and that your reverences may provide a blessed instrument for good. 1 Licinius's wife ran away from him, and he too hastily married another, before obtaining his divorce. The person next alluded to is probably Abelius Selskorn, a student, who for a time had conducted divine service at Sandhook, Fort Casimir, in view of the deplorable condition of New Netherland, for the savages have killed, wounded and captured some of our people, and have burnt several houses at the Esopus, and the English, with flying banners, have declared our village and the whole of Long Island, who belong to the King: (1) Therefore the first Wednesday of each month since last July has been observed as a day of fasting and prayer, in order to ask God for his fatherly compassion and pity. The good God, praise be to him, has brought about everything for the best, by the arrival of the last ships. The English are quiet, the savages peaceful. Our lamentations have been turned into songs of praise, and the monthly day of fasting into a day of thanksgiving. Thus we spent last Wednesday, the last of the days of prayer. Blessed be God who causes wars to cease to the ends of the earth, and breaks the bow and spear asunder. Herewith, very reverend, pious, and learned brethren in Christ, we commend to God for the perfecting of the saints, and the edification of the body of Christ. Veil. Your Reverence's humble servant in Christ Jesus, Henrik Selens. Breukelen, in New Netherland, June 9, 1664. 1 The boundaries between New England and New Netherland had always been in dispute. The English population on Long Island grew, and encroached upon the Dutch towns at the west end, and the towns in that region which were partly English, partly Dutch in population were of doubtful allegiance. The graceless Major John Scott, coming to the island with some royal authority, formed a combination of Hempstead, Gravesend, Flushing, Newtown, Jamaica and Oyster Bay, with himself as president, and then proceeded, January, 1664, at the head of 170 men, to reduce the neighboring Dutch villages. Some account of the affair, and the shape in which it reached the Dutch public, may be seen in the extract printed at the end of this letter. The following account of the English encroachments upon Long Island has not been previously translated. It may serve as a summary of the events, or at least of the version of them which came before the Dutch public soon after. It is derived from the Hollandse Mercurius of 1664, Haarlem, 1665, being part 15 of the Mercurius, which was an annual of the type of the modern annual register, or of Wassenaar's Historische Verhaal, WHCH preceded it. The passage is at page 10. In New Netherland the English made bold to come out of New England upon various villages and places belonging under the protection of their high mightinesses, and the Dutch West India Company even upon Long Island, setting up the banner of Britain and proclaiming that they knew of no New Netherland, but that that land belonged solely to the English nation. Finally their wisest conceded, since thus many troubles had arisen about the boundary, that representatives of both nations should come together upon that subject. This was carried out in November last. The Dutch commissioners went to Boston, where they were received by four companies of citizens and 100 cavalrymen. There they were told that the commissioners on the English side could not arrive to treat of the matter for 8 days. Less than one meanwhile the English incited 3 or 4 villages to revolt against their government. But all those that were of divided population, like those of Heemstede and Gravesend, refused to accept the English king, but said that they had thus far been well ruled by their high mightinesses, and would so remain, though they were English born. Afterward Heemstede was also subdued, but Vlissingen held itself faithful, and some places remained neutral, while the commissioners were detained, and finally came again to Amsterdam without having accomplished anything. Meanwhile also the savages of Esopus played their part, having made bold at a place on the river, to attack 2 Dutchmen and cut off their heads. Less than 2. One the journalist here confounds Stuyvesant's visit to Boston in September, 1663, to meet the commissioners of the United Colonies of New England, with that which his envoys, Van Ryven, Van Cortlandt and Lawrence, made to Hartford in October, to confer with the General Assembly of Connecticut. His date of November is wrong for both. The attempt to revolutionize the English villages on Long Island had taken place in September. Their internal revolt occurred in November. Stuyvesant was obliged to acquiesce. The combination of the English towns under the presidency of Major John Scott and his attempt to win the Dutch towns from their allegiance took place in January and February, 1664. Stuyvesant was again unable to make effectual resistance, but made a truce with Scott for 12 months. After 3 years of peace at Esopus, the Indians again broke out in hostilities in June, 1663, resulting in the slaughter of 21 settlers, and the captivity of 45 others. 3 successive expeditions, under Burgomaster Martin Cregier, in July, September, and October, destroyed the forts of the Indians, broke down their resistance, and released most of the captives. Captain Cregier's journal of these expeditions is printed in O'Callaghan's Documentary History, IV. 4598. Rev. Samuel Drisius to the Classis of Amsterdam, August 5, 1664, The Peace of Christ. Reverend, learned and beloved brethren in Christ Jesus, I find a letter from the Rev. Classis, which I have not yet answered, and a good opportunity now offering itself by the departure of our colleague, Domin Henricus Sellens, I cannot omit to write a letter to your reverences. We could have wished that Domin Sellens had longer continued with us, both on account of his diligence and success in preaching and catechizing, and of his humble and edifying life. By this he has attracted a great many people, and even some of the Negroes, so that many are sorry for his departure. But considering the fact that he owes filial obedience to his aged parents, it is God's will that he should leave us. We must be resigned, therefore, while we commit them to God and the word of His grace. Concerning the places in which He has preached, especially the village called Brooklyn and the Bowery, nothing has been decided yet, but I think that the son of Domin Megapolensis, who has recently come over, will take charge of them, as he has not been sent by the directors to any particular place. The French on Staten Island would also like to have a preacher, but as they number only a few families, are very poor, and cannot contribute much to a preacher's salary, and as our support here is slow and small, there is not much hope that they will receive the light. In the meantime, that they may not be wholly destitute, Director Stuyvesant has, at their request, allowed me to go over there every 2 months, to preach and administer the Lord's Supper. This I have now done for about a year. In the winter this is very difficult, for it is a long stretch of water, and it is sometimes windy, with a heavy sea. We have, according to the decision of the classes, admitted the Mennonist, who is quite unknown to us, to the communion, without rebaptism. One but last week he and his wife removed to Curacao in the West Indies, to live there. The preacher, sent to New Amstel on the South River, died on the way, as we are told. Zepirius left for Virginia long ago. Two, he behaved most shamefully here, drinking, cheating, and forging other people's writings, so that he was forbidden not only to preach, but even to keep school. Closing herewith, I commend the Rev. Brethren to God's protection and blessing in their work. This is the prayer of Your Reverence's dutiful friend in Christ, Samuel Drisius. New Amsterdam, August 5, Anno 1664. One, in a letter of October 4, 1660, Drisius had consulted the classis on the question whether a well-behaved young man residing in New Amsterdam, formerly one of the Mennonites and baptized by them, might be admitted to the Lord's Supper without rebaptism. The classis, by letter of December 16, 1661, ruled that according to the practice of the Dutch churches, his Mennonite baptism was to be regarded as sufficient. Two, Michael Zepirius and his wife came from Curacao in 1659, hoping to receive a call in New Netherland. The classis warned Drisius against him. The Rev. Samuel Drisius to the classis of Amsterdam, September 15, 1664, less than 1, to the Reverend, learned and pious brethren of the Rev. Classis of Amsterdam. I cannot refrain from informing you of our present situation, namely, that we have been brought under the government of the King of England. On the 26th of August there arrived in the Bay of the North River, near Staten Island, 4 great men of war, or frigates, well manned with sailors and soldiers. They were provided with a patent, or commission from the King of Great Britain to demand, and take possession of this province, in the name of His Majesty. If this could not be done in an amicable way, they were to attack the place, and everything was to be thrown open for the English soldiers to plunder, rob and pillage. We were not a little troubled by the arrival of these frigates. One, there is another translation of this letter in N. Y.Y. Colonel Doc. Z. 393-394. Our Director General and Council, with the municipal authorities of the city, took the matter much to heart and zealously sought, by messages between them and General Richard Nichols, to delay the decision. They asked that the whole business should be referred to His Majesty of England and the Lord States General of the Netherlands, but every effort was fruitless. They landed their soldiers about 2 leagues from here, at Gravesend, and marched them over Long Island to the ferry opposite this place. The frigates came up under full sail on the 4th of September with guns trained to one side. They had orders, and intended, if any resistance was shown to them, to give a full broadside on this open place, then take it by assault, and make it a scene of pillage and bloodshed. Arhan. Rulers of the company, and the municipal authorities of the city, were inclined to defend the place, but found that it was impossible, for the city was not in a defensible condition. less than one, and even if fortified, it could not have been defended, because every man posted on the circuit of it would have been 4 rods distant from his neighbor. Besides, the store of powder in the fort, as well as in the city, was small. No relief or assistance could be expected, while daily great numbers on foot and on horseback, from New England, joined the English, hotly bent upon plundering the place. Savages and privateers also offered their services against us. 600 Northern Indians with 150 French privateers, had even an English commission. Therefore, upon the earnest request of our citizens and other inhabitants, our authorities found themselves compelled to come to terms, for the sake of avoiding bloodshed and pillage. The negotiations were concluded on the 6th of September. Less than two, the English moved in on the 8th, according to agreement. One see the remonstrance which the inhabitants addressed to Stuyvesant, N.Y.Y. Colonel. Doc. 2. 248. Two articles of capitulation, Ibid. 250-253, and Broadhead, History of New York, I-762-763. After the surrender of the place, several Englishmen, who had lived here a long time, and were our friends, came to us, and said that God had signally overruled matters, that the affair had been arranged by negotiations, else nothing but pillage, bloodshed and general ruin would have followed. This was confirmed by several soldiers who said that they had come here from England hoping for booty, but that now, since the matter turned out so differently, they desired to return to England. The articles of surrender stipulate that our religious services and doctrines, together with the preachers, shall remain and continue unchanged. Therefore we could not separate ourselves from our congregation and hearers, but consider it our duty to remain with them for some time yet, that they may not scatter and run wild. The Hon. Company still owes me a considerable sum, which I hope and wish they would pay. Closing herewith, I recommend your honor's persons and work to God's blessing and remain, your willing colleague, Samuel Drisius. Manhattan, September 15, 1664. End Project Gutenberg, a text of Editors of the Dutch Ministers. End of Project Gutenberg Narrative, New Netherland, by J. F. F. Jamison, ed. NWNTH by Gutenberg Edition.